So as Denise mentioned, we're doing a subject of God is able. Our God is able. And last week we talked about our God is able to save and deliver. And so including and delivering, we're talking about also spiritual warfare. So I want to talk tonight about, basically I'm going to link two kind of topics together. But it's God's ability to supply for our walk and God's ability to supply for our work, or that is our ministry, whatever that might be. So we've got two W's. God's ability to see us through our Christian walk, to enable us to walk through our Christian walk, but also he gives us the power and the ability to serve him in our Christian work, whatever that might be. So I'm going to start with 2 Peter 1, 3 from the NLT. By his divine power, that is God, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. I love that. We have received all of this by coming to know him, that is Jesus, the one who had called us to himself by the means of his glory and excellence. So that's the NLT, and some of you probably have memorized the New King James. But it's, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness, I think is the King James. And we've learned that by coming to know Jesus. We value that. The power comes from knowing him who called us to himself. So, again, I'm going to start with God's ability to supply for our Christian walk. Surely, our great and awesome God knows exactly what we need from the moment of our salvation until our last breath. As we've seen the graphic up here, God is the creator, God, this glorious creation, and he is able. He is our creator. He is our redeemer. He is our everything, our savior and Lord. He has all the resources that he needs to supply us. I think sometimes, obviously, many times, we fail to grasp those things. We fail to utilize the resources that he has. But God has said in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. And I am sure one day when we all get to heaven, we'll see the riches of God's glory and we'll understand that in even a greater measure. Someone has said God is greater than any problem we face. Remember that when we're in the middle of a problem. He's greater than any problem we face, any person we meet, any power we encounter, and or any prayer that we pray. Because we know our prayers are somewhat limited, right? I know mine are. Some we stumble and all that. But he is greater than all of those things. So why do we doubt God? Why do we doubt his ability? Why do we just stumble in our faith? And why do we doubt that he's going to come through for? He may come through for you, but what is it happens to us? Sometimes we think, but he's not going to come through for me. God isn't going to supply what I need. He's going to supply what Denise needs. He's going to supply what Michelle needs. But me? God wants to supply your every need. And it's there for us. Again, we have to receive it. We're going to talk a little bit about again tonight, as we mentioned last week, our part, because God is there to do his part. I'm suggesting that perhaps one of the reasons why we don't latch on to it is because we don't really know God that well. We all should continue to grow in that. I don't know him as well as I want to, but I sure know him more and better than I know more about him than I did 10 years ago, maybe even 2 years ago. But especially when I just began the journey with Jesus on that walk of being a child of his. Or we forget. Do you forget? I forget what God did yesterday, let alone how easy it is to forget what he did for me 10 years ago or 20 years ago, unless there's these milestones in our life, which we all have them, and I'll share one or two with you tonight. But I think we forget what God has already done. So then we doubt what he's going to do tomorrow or today. Sometimes just this today is kind of, how can I make it through today? And yet, and also we forget that God's presence. He's promised never to leave you nor forsake you. He is with you. He says he's always with you. All the days of your life, he will never leave you nor forsake you. So we forget those things. So therefore, let's get to know God better. Let's pursue and study and make ourselves available, spend that time with him. And then we realize how much he loves us. We grow in our knowledge of his love for us. So when we realize how much he loves us, how gracious he is, how merciful, how powerful, how loving and considerate and kind and gentle and patient and all those attributes, when we get to know God better and better, then we are able to trust him to supply those needs. And of course, we love his promises. Do you ever journal some of God's promises when you're reading through the scripture, doing your devotion? I encourage you to do that, because that is an anchor, those promises. And if you're in the middle of a trial, especially a real stressful situation, look for a promise and hold on to it. And when you get overwhelmed, go back to that promise. God is faithful. His timeline isn't like ours, but nonetheless, you can be assured that God is going to do it. And so he provides everything we need. He supplies everything we need for our walk. And that means he's committed to our spiritual growth, right? We start as newborn babes, desiring the milk of the word. Then we progress on and on, just like we do in school. We don't graduate from high school when we're five. God moves us along in our spiritual walk. And that growth is, he's committed to that. We can slow it down, or we can just move along in the way that he would have us. But he's also going to, again, supply all you need for spiritual ministry. So again, recognize it, receive it, rely on it, rest and rejoice in it. We'll mention those things off and on through the message. I love the hymn that we used to sing, well, as a chorus more than a hymn. He who began a good work in you will be able to complete it. Able to complete it. He who started the work will be able to complete it in you. Can't you hear Terry and Nancy Clark doing that song? And it sweeps us off our feet in a sense. But realize it's truth. God is able. He's able to complete. He started the work and he promised he will complete it. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. So, yet, in the Christian walk, we understand that there are struggles, that is challenging. And that's the way it is because of our human nature. So there's the danger of wandering. What does the old hymn say? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And that's throughout history, that has been the case of us as Christians. So as we walk through, I want to think about tonight the seasons of life. I want to think briefly about the storms of life. I want to think about the struggles that we all face in this sinful world. And I want to mention one of the biggest stumbling blocks for us is the suffering that we encounter in our Christian walk. I've been through those kind of places in my life because I'm an old lady, but God has made me this way. And so, anyway, I just don't want to get off track here. But the idea is there have been many places in my life, in my walk with Jesus, that were a great challenge. But it's during those challenges, during those difficult places, that's where I've grown. And haven't you found that true? You don't like it. I don't like it either. And I don't want to go back and go through those same things again. But it was through those places that I really got to know who Jesus was more and more every time. So during my 36 years of marriage, there were many seasons of distress, of discouragement, even despair. We had a difficult, difficult marriage for many years. My husband was, I didn't know it at the time, but later on in our marriage, we discovered he was an alcoholic. At least I discovered he was an alcoholic. Took him a while to make that discovery. So, but God was not only teaching me about himself, but he was building character in me as I pressed into Jesus. Now, I'm not saying I always did it right. I certainly didn't. And when I messed up royal. But God forgave me, restored me, and we committed again to our continuation of what God wanted to do in our marriage. And I do want to just say here, because sometimes I just mention all that, and unfortunately I forget to tell him, but God did a work. God changed my husband, and he changed me through that period. So God restored our marriage, and I always kind of tease, and it's kind of half-truth, that about the time he got it right, God took him home. I don't understand that, because we had more years of difficulty than we did of dream, you know, marriage. And of course, neither one of us were perfected, so that didn't mean we didn't have trouble. But God did a work, and God was faithful, and God delivered him from alcohol, and he stopped blaming me for everything that was wrong in our marriage, because God changed his heart, and God changed my heart, and enabled me to forgive, and enabled me to love somebody who wasn't acting very loving. So those kind of things were beneficial, and those are things that helped build me and strengthen me in the Word and make me more like Jesus, which God says in his Word is this objective with us, right? He wants to make us into the image of Christ. So he taught me about his character. He taught me more about his Word. He taught me how to cling to those promises, and he made me realize that his presence was with me. And God showed me that he could meet my needs even when my husband could not. And that was a big lesson for me. He also taught me that my husband could not receive God's love, then how could he receive my love? And so it gave me understanding. It's kind of like, well, he's got a blockage in there. There's things wrong with him that he couldn't receive God's love. How in the world could he ever receive mine? He misunderstood. He was not, you know, anyway, had a lot of those kind of difficulties and challenges in his life. But when God changed him, God changed him. So, again, God was faithful to me at every point of need. He supplied whatever I needed. But when I questioned myself or doubted the Lord, then I began to recall and rely on God's word. I began to thank him for what he did in the past, trust him for what still needed to be done, both in me and in my husband. And God did, again, do a work. And I found that God's grace is sufficient, just like the word says. God's grace is sufficient. God is with me. God is for me. If God is for us, who can be against us? And at times I thought my husband was against me. But God was for me, and that's enough. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? And the all things that I longed for was peace and acceptance and approval and just love and a listening ear. And God did all that. And he's so faithful to do that. Then he promised me I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because there were moments in that marriage that I felt like, God, I can't do this anymore. And so we put a deadline on God. And God would say, this worked. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, again, I stayed on that path, and God came through and really made a trophy of grace out of my marriage. And I'm thanking for him to that for this very day. So now then, 20 years ago, when God chose to take my husband home, I have walked through 20 years of widowhood. After 36 years, there was a great deal of change that took place. Now, I know some of you have been married longer than that, but, you know, losing your mate is an amazing corner in your life. There's tremendous changes that take place. So God has given me everything I need as a widow. If you know a widow, encourage her to press into Jesus, to learn to trust him for those things in her life, and to walk her through, comfort her, reassure her that he's there. He can fill your life with the presence of the Spirit. One of my highest praise and testimony to God is, in 20 years, I've never been afraid, and I live alone. Never one time in the night have I been afraid. And that's a gift from God. I'm not saying that other widows, that they're not trusting God if they're fearful, but it's just a blessing that he gave me. and I am so thankful. I've even left the garage door open, accidentally. I left the front door unlocked, and I have, you know, like an entrance like many do into your home through the garage. So, I mean, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, no, I left the garage door open again all night. Thank you, Jesus. You're here. You're my, you know, you put the angels round about. And so anyway, God, that's just, he provided for me. He provided a work here. The day of the memorial, Pastor Chuck asked me, he and Kay wanted to put me on staff to provide for me because I needed to go to work. I was 58 years old. I needed to find a job, and I hadn't worked for years. God opened up that door. God provided for me. God has been faithful to protect me, as I mentioned. And so again, in the companionship, when I would find, especially in those early days, that I would just lonely for somebody to talk to, Jesus was right there. Just talk to me, Glenda. I'm listening. He actually listened a lot better than my husband ever did. But I have to tell you something funny. When I first started Joyful Life, and we would be sharing in our discussion, and I'd just make this comment, it would be so quick. Somebody asked me one time, how can you just say something so quick and it just has meaning? I mean, that was a blessing to hear that. But I thought about that, and the reason why, my husband had an interest span of about 30 seconds. So if I wanted to say something, I had to think about it and say it quick, because then he'd get it. But if I started going on with details and all this, like we women like to do, he was gone. So anyway, so that was kind of a benefit, I guess, that came out of that. Anyway, so God provides everything we need, the companionship, the provision, the protection, and the list goes on and on. And so earlier days when we were raising our kids, God gave the provision. He supplied the wisdom we needed, the understanding we needed. Not again that we weren't perfect parents, that's for sure, but God walked us through that. There were seasons of unemployment. God walked us through those financial places, and he taught us, and we, again, we made it through. Then, when the kids got older, how many of you are learning to let go of your kids? That is probably in our parenting then, and like I said, there were ups and downs in our marriages where sometimes we were a team, other times we were, you know, on opposite teams. But anyway, that was the hardest for my husband and me, was letting go of our children when, you know, it's gradually, but then especially when it was time for marriage and that type of thing. So now both my daughter and my son are married, and now we have 5 grandkids. That's a new season. I love that season, don't you? If you have them, you do. So I have 5 grandkids. My daughter had 2 girls, and my son had 3 boys. They had to do that to keep it straight. If they had one of each, that would have really been too confusing for me. So my girl had girls, and my boy had boys. And so now, even I have 2 married granddaughters and a recently married grandson. So now they're even getting married, and lo and behold, this last year in December, I had my first great-grandson by my oldest granddaughter, and her sister probably didn't want to be outdone. 3 months later, she had a boy. So now I have 2 great-grandsons. So those are all seasons, and they're wonderful. So God supplies all we need for every season of life. God provides exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That's Ephesians 3:20. I'm going to say that again. It's such a familiar verse, but think about each word. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Have you ever noticed how many superlatives that verse contains? The Amplified reads it like this. Now to him who has the power, or the power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far above and far over and above, I can't even say it all that we can dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. That is an amazing promise. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I know you love that prayer, and I do too. So I want to ask you for a moment, what season are you in tonight? Remember, whatever season it is, God's promises are there for you. He is the Almighty God, and He loves you. His love is unconditional. He loves you. He always has, and He always will. He will always supply everything you need. He supplies. So God is there to supply everything. Again, the Creator God, the one who holds all things together by the word of His power, He is there to supply your every need. And He will finish what He started. We're going to share more about that next week. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we talked about that as a song. Our God is faithful. So, God began that work and He will complete it. So then maybe tonight you're in a season of struggle. Perhaps you have a besetting sin. We all struggle. We all have the flesh to contend with. And each of us have deficiencies. Every one of us have deficiencies. Cheryl talks about deficiencies quite a bit when she's talking about her messages. And she says we rejoice in our deficiencies. We rejoice in our weakness because then God's strength is made perfect. So don't get overly discouraged. God has a solution. So I love that. Have you ever circled maybe, and I think John Corson had an amazing message many years ago on but God. No matter how bad it is, but God. So, but God has a solution. God has hope for us, and there's help for us. So, Jesus said, everything is possible to him who believes. So there's our part. We have to put our faith and confidence and trust. We need to believe what he said and believe his character is going to back up what he said. So whatever type of struggles you face or the things that plague you, often it's for women, it's fear, it's worry, it's anxiety, maybe even depression. Those are just to name a few. Those are kind of like those behavioral, those things that hang on, that trouble us and that stumble us. But again, we need to be assured that God has answers for us. There's no problem that he's not greater than our problem. God is there for us. So he has, again, his strength is made perfect in weakness. So let me share just a few verses that maybe apply to some of the kind of struggles that we face. Practical scriptures that, again, that offer that supply that we need for fear. Don't you love Isaiah 41:10? Fear not. Why? For I am with you. Be not dismayed. So there's the discouragement. There's the depression. There's the doubt. Why? Don't be that way. Don't be dismayed. Why? Again, because I am your God. The Almighty God, the great I am, is your God. He promises then, I will strengthen you. If God says he's going to strengthen you, if you'll let him, he'll strengthen you. But again, there's a cooperative part of that, isn't there? Yes, he goes on to say, I will help you with my right hand, the right hand of my righteousness. Don't you love to think about the right hand of God? I have to confess, sometimes in the winter, I like to watch football. Some of those guys have really good muscles, you know? They really look strong. They are, I don't know what the current word is. I'm not a youth. I don't know what the current word is, buff or something. I don't know. But they are strong. But you think Almighty God, how strong his arms are? And he's there to hold you up. In fact, the scripture says, underneath you are the everlasting arms. What a security. What a comfort. What a supply, you know? I mean, there's no amount of weakness in our God. And I like to quote Millie Stamm. She says this about his holding our hand and his strong right arm. She says, the Lord holds your hand in his, your weak one in his all-powerful one. When we come to rough spots in the way, whether it's our besetting sin or trial or trouble, whatever, he keeps us from falling because he holds us up as we stumble over our problems, our needs, our sorrows, our heartaches. Thus, when we face each day unafraid, we can rest in him because he's holding our hand in his nail-scarred hand. and with his strong right arm, he's supporting us. Then Millie went on to testify that by choosing to believe God's word, his presence and his power to hold her up, it caused her to rest in him, to just be comforted, and just that acknowledgement that God is there for her. Jesus, again, is with us to hold us and enable us, and that's part of his supply, to enable us to be overcomers, not victims, whatever our sin might be. Again, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's his strength, not mine. So the word has a remedy for every besetting sin, yours and mine. But we need to search for these answers in the word, believe that they are for you, not just someone else. Rely on what God has said. That kind of connects with believing. But I think sometimes we can intellectually believe, but rely is more like, oh, I'm in my recliner. I'm resting in the Lord. I love that. Rest and rely. But rely on the power of his Spirit, not on your own power, not your own strength. Because the Spirit can do what you and I can't do for ourselves. So rest in, and we can rejoice in it. And that's where the praise comes in. That's where the thanksgiving comes. When we just rest in that and rejoice in it. Because already he's starting to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And Jesus also said, all things which are impossible with man is possible with God. That's Luke 18:27, if you're taking notes. So I believe each of us can echo what the prophet Jeremiah also said. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. There is nothing too hard for our God. You may think you have the worst situation in the world, and maybe you do. I don't know. But is it too much for God? No. If the scripture tells us there's nothing too hard for him. So we realize then that God is committed to our spiritual growth, and he's promised to finish what he started. Listen to Romans 16:25. Now unto him who is able, there we go, who is able to establish you according to my gospel. He's able to establish you. That's your Christian walk. That's the steadfastness that you want and I want in my Christian walk. He says he's able to establish us according to the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. Don't need all of that whole verse, but it gives the context. So Romans 16:25, in case you're taking notes. Think about another assurance from another scripture. Acts 20:32, Paul is the one who stated to believers in his day, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Between Jesus, the Almighty God in the flesh, Jesus, think about it. It's almost as if the Almighty God, that the sovereign Lord over all, Jesus Christ, wasn't sufficient enough. God also gave us his infallible word. They kind of go in concert together. God the Son and his word will build us up and provide that assurance and give us that confidence that we can finish this pilgrim journey. Between the word and Jesus, I mean, there's nothing left. There's nothing else that we would need. So we need to rely on and rest in and receive for ourselves that truth. Again, our part is to believe, receive, recognize that the promises are given to us personally, rely and rest in them. And I believe prayer is the answer for anxiety. If anxiety is your thing, I mean, there's one verse, or actually two verses, in Philippians. You're familiar with it. We all are, if we've known the Lord for any length of time. Be anxious for nothing. There's our word, anxiety. For nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that's our faith, we're thanking God, let your requests be made known to God, and then the promises and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 3, 6, and 7. So it's so important also to remember that we're in those struggling places, that God, Jesus, knows your frame. He knows that we're but dust, and he understands. I used to struggle so much. My husband never seemed to understand. Then I began to say, it's okay, God, because I know you understand. And that was sufficient for me to take grasp a hold of that and know that God understood my frame and that he knew my weakness. And I also know, and you know tonight, that according to Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God. God can deal with your temper tantrums. God can deal with your agony, with your frustration, with your anger. I mean, I learned I don't get angry and lash out at my husband. It never worked. It always backfired and we'd end up in a worse condition. But God can handle my anger when I felt like I was so unjust in the way that I was being treated and I was this verbal abusive behavior. It wasn't right. I'm not excusing it, but I could go to God and pour out all that. In fact, David found out, as we pattern ourselves after King David, don't we? I mean, he was unjustly treated. He was being chased all over by King Saul, and he hadn't done one thing wrong to Saul. In fact, he kept giving Saul back grace and goodness and respect when Saul didn't really even deserve it. But that's what David did, because David could pour his heart out and get rid of all that venom in his closet, so to speak. And that's what I had to learn to do during those difficult years of marriage. And when I did that, it worked. When I didn't, all this stuff piled up in me. Then I was left, and my husband didn't care. I mean, he was like in his own zone, right? But I was left with all the garbage. We used to talk about occasionally he'd say, come home, because he was a verbal person. Some men are so quiet, you can't get them to do anything. But he was very verbal. And so he would dump, and he would vent, and I was left with all the trash. And I'm thinking, now what am I going to do with all this stuff? But anyway, so then I would dump on the Lord in my prayer closet. So basically, those are kind of, I mean, I don't know why I even said all that. But so then we want to talk a moment about, yes, sweet. I want to talk about suffering for a moment, because basically my testimony, as you already can see, a lot of my suffering was through those early days in marriage. But it can seem relentless. It could seem like it's never going to go away. And if you have a chronic illness, I'm sure that's what it feels like. I'm going to have to learn to live with this the rest of my life. And I don't know. That is possible, but God says his grace is sufficient. He has a supply for you, and he knows what you're going through, and he cares, and he has a good plan in it. I don't understand that, but that's the truth. So David said God was the lifter of his head. God was the one who supplied daily strength for daily needs. I think sometimes what we do is we borrow. We start thinking, oh, how can I do this next week? Or how can I do this next month? And sometimes in widowhood, some of the ladies that I share with say that. I can't make it. What's going to happen to my future? I don't know, but God's going to get you through today. And that's enough. And so we learn those things about our Lord, and we rely on the Lord, and we take his word as his word, because God says he has the supply, all we need. So anyway, when we're in that place of suffering, I think it's obviously we hate it. We want it to be over like yesterday. And so if that's not soon enough, we start questioning God's love. And that's the enemy. He wants us to question God's love, question God's ways, question God's ability to see us through, because we tend to think, I'm going to give up now. And we just don't like it. My grandson said many years ago, my middle grandson, there was some adjustments going on in his home, and he was distressed over this new routine. And all of a sudden he said, I like the easy life. And I'm thinking, oh boy, he discovered that really soon. And I'm thinking, wow, what a true statement. Every single one of us like the easy life. Like, who likes to be uncomfortable? Who wants to be uncomfortable? I sure don't. And so, but God allows us to go through bumpy roads. He allows us to go, because again, that's when we grow. That's when we discover who Jesus is. That's who, when we discover the beauty of his love for us, that his total acceptance of us, his unconditional love, and then we learn to press in to him, because we can't make it. We can't make it on our own. If we try, we're going to just spiral further and further downward in that path. So we're inclined, though, to give up during those times of suffering, but remembering that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith, and he has a plan. So what should we do? Again, go back and remember who God is. Who is your God? What do you know about your God? What do you know about his character? What do you know about his nature? What do you know about his heart toward his children? It's all in the Bible. It's all discovered in the pages of Genesis through Revelation. And then be sure to recall, remember what God has done for you in the past, how he's taken you through other rough roads. He's going to take you through this one too, whatever suffering it might entail. And through those things, God wants to show himself. He wants to show himself real to you and to me. I have found that I struggle longer if I waste the trials that he's allowed and the suffering he's allowed to be in my life. So I think years ago there was a book written. I don't know if I read it or not. If I did, it's totally, my mind is blank. But it's, don't waste your trials. Don't waste the suffering, the difficulties that God allows in our lives. Use them. Ask God to teach you. Oh boy, I don't know how many times, even though I was tired of learning, I was just weary in the journey, I would say, God, what is it you want me to learn out of this place? What is it that you want to teach me? Let alone him. He's your problem. But what do you want to teach me? I want to be pleasing to you. I want to grow. I want to know you more. I want my faith to be increased. So show me. And he was faithful to do that. So God is the potter and we are the clay. He is molding and shaping us into the image of Christ. And I need to move on. When we suffer, we need to be careful that we're not resisting the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is there for us to give us all we need. He's there to give us the strength. He's there to give us hope. He's there to give us the grace to keep giving out of the power of the Spirit in us. I didn't feel like returning love to my husband. I didn't feel like forgiving him. But I knew if I held on to that, if I didn't, then it would be worse for me and it would drag out the length of my learning process. And I must have been a hard egg because it lasted for quite a few years. But remember the children of Israel, it took 40 years to get through the wilderness and the wandering. Oh boy, it shouldn't have taken that long. They prolonged that because they resisted and they rebelled against God's work. They doubted and they questioned him. So wouldn't it be better to follow Abraham's example? I love this verse, don't you? Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced. I love that. Abraham was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. So there we have God's ability again. So that's what Abraham did. That's the path I want to follow. I also want to adopt, again, I'm going to quote from Ruth Meyer's attitude when she prayed this prayer. I praise you, Lord, that I can rest in your wisdom. You always know what's best. I can rest in your love. You always want what's best. I can rest in your power. You always do what's best. I can rest in your loving, long-range purposes and give thanks and rejoice that you ask me to forfeit, sometimes, earthly bests, that B-E-S-T-S, if it means spiritual growth and eternal gain. She was willing to forfeit those earthly comforts or best in order for God's best to come out of that situation. Yes, God is able to provide all we need for the Christian walk. So let me hasten on to talk about, we have a desire as believers, don't we, to serve the Lord. And I don't know how many of you struggle with the power, the ability, the supply that you need to serve the Lord. But I love 2 Corinthians 9:8, which really says it. This is one of my all-time favorite verses that talks about God's ability. It starts with, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, if that isn't a powerful verse and promise, packed with power and promise for us, God outdid himself, I think, with this scripture when he had I think it was Paul, write this. Again, notice the superlatives. Three times he says all grace abound, all sufficiency in all things. That leaves nothing out. There's nothing you can leave out of that when you're serving God. Then he goes on to say, he always does, and in every work he will do it in abundance. I mean, memorize that verse, ladies, and just dwell on it. Just meditate on it, because everything is there. And grace is what we need to serve the Lord, right? He gives all grace. I always need grace. My entire life of ministry, I need the grace of God. I can't do it without the grace of God. In fact, we need the grace of God to walk in the Lord and in, you know, our Christian walk. So, yes, and I have to confess that I am inadequate, that I am insufficient. Paul did, Apostle Paul. Remember, he said, who is sufficient for these things? And the obvious answer is no one. Because then he went on to say, God is, or Jesus is, our sufficiency. Because God will supply all his sufficient grace abundantly for you and for me, each and every time, and whatever we undertake in ministry. And that has been my testimony. His abundant grace has been poured out day after day, year after year, and week after week, for month after month, for my life. And I thank you for that. So, but perhaps tonight you're thinking, but I don't know what God wants me to do. The Bible has a suggestion for you, a very simple suggestion. God asked Moses, what do you have in your hand? Obviously, Moses had only a rod. When God called him to deliver the nation of Israel. If you want any of these verses later, I just won't take time to read them, but I got them my notes here. So you and I can use the talent or the equipment and the equipment that is in our possession. Let me give you a few more examples. The widow of Zarephath, who gave her meager grain, God multiplied and fed Elijah, one of them. Another widow used her last bottle of oil, and God miraculously multiplied it and provided for her and her son. The Shunammite woman used an extra room in her house to offer a resting place for the prophet Elisha. David had a sling and a stone. That's good. I say that fast. David had a sling and a stone that he used to take down a giant. Daniel used his secular position. How many of you are in a secular position? God could use you right there. A little boy gave Jesus his lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Look what Jesus did. Dorcas used a sewing needle. Timothy's mother and grandmother used the scriptures to teach Timothy God's word as he was growing up. What is in your hand? What do you have in your possession? Use it. In my early days of ministry, I'm going to kind of wind up with this personal approach. As God began to step me out of my comfort zone many, many years ago, I started a neighborhood Bible study. There was a new believer, and she asked me, she said, you know, we didn't go to the same church or anything. In fact, these ladies that came, we all went to different churches. And at that time we weren't at Calvary Chapel, but she said, I really want to know God's word better. I know you've been a Christian a long time. You want to just start a Bible study? And I'll invite a couple of my friends over. That's what we did. That has to be like 40 years ago or more. And so we would meet together weekly. And I began, after a while, we used little study aids like the neighborhood Bible study thing. We used those to study. And it was great. But then after a little while, I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe I could just write a few questions. So I began to write a few questions. And we'd take it home and we'd study it or answer it from our Bible, and we'd come back and discuss it. That's how I began writing lessons. Look at that tiny, tiny beginning. Because a few years later, when I was here that by then in women's ministry, and Kay had heard by from someone that I had written some lessons. Now, these weren't them. That was another, for a short time I was in another church and I wrote a Bible study on Psalms. Anyway, so Kay said, would you like to write some of our lessons? And I'm thinking, who, me? Write the kind of lessons that Kay was producing? Well, okay. And I so wrote a couple of holiday lessons or something. And that's how that began, just the next step. And so then God gave me pressing into the Lord, God's sufficient. I am certainly not. I was so overwhelmed. Again, pressing in to the power of the Spirit, relying on God. When he calls, he equips, trusting in God's promises. So then the same similar thing happened when Kay asked me to come on staff, not come on staff, rather, to take the leadership of Joyful Life because Carolyn Lamb was stepping down. And she was going to take care of her aged mother. And that a year or two before that, I had been in children's ministry and taught some VBS classes in the summer. And then I was asked to administrate this VBS. So I did, I like to do administrative stuff. I didn't think too much about it. I did that. And then that prepared me for the administration of Joyful Life. Look how God leads us step by step. And this is my story. You have a story. But all that to say, then when my husband passed away after 1 year of my leadership overseeing Joyful Life, that's when Pastor Chuck and Kay put me on staff and have been supporting me ever since. And so 20 years later, it is now time to train someone else. And God brought along a wonderful, gifted woman who is just perfect for, she's not perfect, nobody is. But you know what I mean? She's just ready for this role. So we brought her on staff, and I began working part-time. And so, anyway, so Angie Emma is here. And so at the end of this month, I'm officially retiring and resigning from staff. But my life is still so exciting because I've been able to do what the Scripture says. Moses passed the baton. He didn't hang on to it till he keeled over dead and they grasped it out of his hand. That isn't what God wants. So I've been blessed to have this opportunity to kind of pour into Angie in a sense. And she's been ready, but I wasn't ready and Cheryl wasn't ready. But I built my life around Christian ministry. So when I talked to Cheryl, I said, but I really want to stay involved. Is that okay? And she was very okay. So you're going to see me. In fact, you're going to probably say, oh, I thought she'd gone. She's still here. Anyway, so I'm just going to, in fact, at the staff meeting when Brian told him last week that it was my last month here on staff, he said, but she's going to still be around, right? He turned to us sitting over there, and I said, that's right. I just won't get paid. And then he said, he kind of chuckled. Then he said, hey, is there any more volunteers out there? Oh, that was kind of cute. But anyway, so that's my pleasure. However, I want to tell you this. I have been reading a daily devotional, and I've read it many times before. But Ruth Myers, the woman I've been quoting from, wrote a book that probably this chapel store doesn't sell too many of. The reason being, it's called 31 Days of Encouragement as We Age. And so that just throws everybody. But my daughter-in-law gave it to me a few years ago, which was good. I didn't have to buy it. She bought it for me. Anyway, it's a powerful, and it's probably one of my favorite devotional books. But let me share what she said to me through her writing about the adjustments when it's time to retire. This is a new season for me, so I'm about to enter a new season. She warned against adopting a self-centered attitude. For instance, now it's time to indulge myself. Now I deserve to do my own thing. I've done my part. And now I'm going to do what I want. She points out that while God has given us things to enjoy, all things to enjoy, it's so important for us in the golden years to keep God at the center of whatever time they have left. So she encourages as we continue to age to use the gifts God has given us, to look around and see new needs, to reach out and avail ourselves of new opportunities. And that's exactly what I want to do. She voiced my heart by her writing. So it's my desire to focus on the kingdom, even in retirement, but to keep a balance between leisure and activity. Psalm 73, 23 through 26 and verse 28 ministers to me at this time of my life. I'm going to read it for you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you, and the you is God. You hold me by your right hand. Remember those strong arms? He's got me. You guide me with your counsel always. He's our shepherd. We sang that tonight. And afterward, receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is none on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart will fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. So like Ruth, rather than self-centered living, I want my last days on earth to be as an opportunity to find new joys in God, new love for him or a deeper love for him, keep growing more Christ-like, and to develop a deeper trust and a greater love for people. His grace is sufficient. His power is unlimited. His love endures forever. And he's always faithful. He will never fail you. And there is not one word that has failed of all his good promise. Remember Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you and I can ask or think. And God is able to supply all we need, everything we need, according to his riches and glory. As vast and varied as our needs might be along life's journey, God's vast supply is greater still. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to receive, to welcome even, to sink our faith deep in the truths of your word, because you'll always be there for us. Lord, your supply will never run dry. Your love will never fail. Your truth endures forever. And truly, you will and you have supplied everything we've needed up to this point for our Christian walk, and you will provide for our Christian ministry as we further on our journey. And Lord, I love the song that we used to sing. God is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. God is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. Truly, Lord, you are able, more than able, to even make me what you want me to be. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.